God has made an investment in you when he created you. He gave you abilities. He let you live in this particular time in history. And he expects a return on his investment. Notice what the Bible says. Each of us will have to give a personal account to God. That means nobody's going to do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. The pastor can't do it for you. You will give a personal account.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. In a time where tolerance is valued more than truth, every believer in Christ needs more than ever to know what it takes to build a godly foundation for their life. As we continue this series called Building My Life on Values That Last, Rick will look closely at the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book by Pastor Rick that's both spiritually uplifting and visually stunning. It's called The Purpose of Christmas, and it reveals the true biblical meaning of the season. You can find out more about how to secure a copy for yourself or for a friend just in time for Christmas by going to rickwarren.org while you listen to today's message. That's rickwarren.org, or you can just text the word daily to 313131 for more info. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Accepting Responsibility.
If I were to ask you today, what's your greatest ability? I wonder what some of you would say. You might say, you know, I'm good at mechanics, I'm good at math. Some of you might say, I'm good at sewing or surfing or channel surfing. But you say, well, I'm good at all of this. But I want to suggest to you this morning that your greatest ability is responsibility. You say, huh? Yeah, your greatest ability is responsibility. Responsibility is the ability to respond to life. It's one of the greatest gifts that God has given you. God created you and made you a human being. And what makes you a human is the ability to choose your response to life. And so you can respond in many different ways to stress, to problems, to crises, to opportunities, to relationships, and it's all your choice. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how most of your life is out of your control. You didn't choose where you were born or when you were born and all those different things. And you don't choose a lot of the circumstances and events that happen to you. But you do have the freedom to choose how you react to life. You do have the freedom to choose how you respond. And because you have that choice, because you have the freedom to respond, and you are able to respond, you are response-able. You're responsible. Justice Louis Brandeis, who was one of the Supreme Court justices, once said that responsibility is the great developer. It builds your character. It's what helps you grow. Churchill called it the price of greatness. If you want to do something great with your life, you have to become a responsible person. So today we're beginning a series on 10 values on which you build as pillars of your life a successful and a significant life. And we have to start with personal responsibility. Because folks, this is the foundation. This is ground zero. This is the bottom line. If you don't get this one, you may well forget the rest of the series, because you can't build any of the other values in your life if you don't personally accept responsibility for your choices, your character, and your values. This is what it all starts with. If I get that point down, then the rest can be built in a successful and a significant life. Now, it's very obvious that in the last 40 years, there's been a dramatic decline in the acceptance of personal responsibility in our society. Nobody wants to accept responsibility for anything anymore. In fact, we want to accuse and excuse. We want to accuse other people, it's all their fault, and we want to excuse ourselves, it's not my fault. And we live in this blaming and accusing and excusing society where nobody wants to really own up to anything. Now, what causes that? What's happened in our society? Well, last week I said that our beliefs determine our behavior, and our behavior determines what we become and what our society becomes. And so we talked about the ideas of individualism and secularism and relativism and how that has influenced our value system. There are three values that are very prevalent today, three beliefs that are the antithesis of personal responsibility. I've written them there on your outline, and we just need to look at them for a second. The first one is what I call the rights mentality. The second is the victim mentality. And the third is the entitlement mentality. Now, the rights mentality basically goes like this. I have my rights. And that's all I'm interested in, my rights. Would you agree that today our society is obsessed with personal rights? Listen to this, John Leo talking in U.S. News and World Report. Today, American politics is awash in rights talk. We have criminal rights, computer rights, animal rights, children's rights. We have victims' rights, abortion rights, housing rights, privacy rights, the right to know the sex of a fetus, the right to own an AK-47 for hunting purposes, the right to not be tested for AIDS, and the right to not inform anybody if we have been infected. Recently, we have acquired the right to die. And according to some rather imaginative theorist, a damaged fetus also has a right not to be born. Mental patients used to have the right to treatment, but now that they've been dumped on the streets, they have an ACLU-protected right to no treatment at all. He says, our culture has reached a point where the obsession with individual rights is making it hard for us to think socially. And he suggests that along with our Bill of Rights, that we really need a Bill of Responsibilities. And I want to say, John, we already have one. It's called the Ten Commandments.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Christmas, where is the year gone? You know, a lot of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like you to know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs, and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. This book is one to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know the true meaning of Christmas. Let us send you a hardcover copy of the inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. We're sure that God will use it to stir up hope, peace, and gratitude in your heart this Christmas season. Get your copy of The Purpose of Christmas right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org or 800-600-5004. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
We hear a lot today about rights, and we don't hear very much about responsibilities. We hear a lot about entitlements. We don't hear much about obligations. We hear a lot about myself. We don't hear much about what it does to other people. And we certainly hear a whole lot more about choice than we hear about commitment. So this morning, I want us to look at this value of why do I need to be a person of responsibility. Well, first there's this rights mentality. The second we have called what I call the victim mentality. And the victim mentality basically goes like this. None of my problems are my fault. In fact, they're all your fault. And we blame. And you've heard me say many times that you spell blame, be lame. And every time you blame somebody else for the unhappiness in your life, you are being lame. Recently, there have been a number of books out on this. This one's called A Nation of Victims, The Decay of American Culture. And listen to this. Here's some examples. An FBI agent embezzles $2,000 from the government, and then he loses it all in an afternoon of gambling in Atlantic City. He's fired, but he wins reinstatement after court rules that his affinity for gambling with other people's money is, quote, a handicap. And thus, as a handicap, it is protected under federal law. Here's another. Fired for consistently showing up late at work, a former school district employee sues his former employers, arguing that he is the victim of what his lawyer calls, quote, chronic lateness syndrome. I'm a victim. In Framingham, Massachusetts, a young man steals a car from a parking lot and is killed while driving it. His family then sues the proprietor of the parking lot for failing to take steps to prevent such thefts. See? It's your fault. It's your fault that I stole the car. A man who, by his own admission, has exposed himself between 10,000 and 20,000 times and been convicted of flashing on more than 30 occasions is turned down for a job as a park attendant in Dane County, Wisconsin, and because of his arrest record, but he sues on the grounds that he never exposed himself in a park, only in libraries and laundromats. Now, the Wisconsin employment officials, ever accommodating to the expansion of human rights, agreed to make an initial determination of probable cause that the flasher was the victim of, quote, illegal job discrimination. We are a nation of victims. None of it's my fault. It's everybody else's fault. And I have my rights. And then comes the third antithesis to personal responsibility, and that's what I call the entitlement mentality. And the entitlement mentality basically says, I deserve it. The world owes me a living. And this is a kind of a strange combination that came about from a generation of baby boomers who were all raised, 76 million of them, on the second most popular book ever sold, Dr. Benjamin Spock's baby book. And in that book, it basically says, leave the little tyrant alone. If he wants to throw Jell-O around the living room, go ahead. You don't want to harm his creativity. And so a whole generation grew up not thinking, I am my brother's keeper. They're not even thinking, I'm my own keeper. It's, you ought to take care of me. And you couple that with the rapid expansion of government intervention in the last 40 years, which basically says, we'll take care of you from cradle to grave. And we have people saying, I have a right not to work, and so therefore you should pay me to not work. This has produced what Time Magazine calls busybodies and crybabies. What's happening to the American character? And inside it says, a cover article, it says, a nation of finger pointers. It says, twin malformations are cropping up in American character. A nasty intolerance and a desire to blame everyone else for everything else. Now, that's the kind of world we live in that says, I'm not responsible for anything. It's not my fault. In stark contrast to that, notice what the Bible says there on your outline. Ephesians chapter 5, let's read this aloud together. Live life with a sense of responsibility, not as those who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do. Now circle sense of responsibility. God says you are to live your life with a sense of responsibility, but more important than that, I want you to notice he says the reason. He says, because you know the meaning of life. And the point of this verse is this. If you live your life in a responsible way, it means you probably know the meaning of life. You figured it out. Why did God put me here? On the other hand, if you are living an irresponsible life, it just means one thing. You don't know the meaning of life. You don't know your purpose. You don't know why God put you on this planet in the first place. Therefore, the key to living a more responsible life is to figure out, why am I here? What did God put me on this earth for? So the first thing we have to deal with is, why should I live a responsible life? There are three reasons. You might write these down. The first reason I need to learn to live a responsible life is because God is watching me. Because God is watching me. The Bible says this in the book of Hebrews. Nothing in all the world can be hidden from God. Everything is open before Him. And to Him, we must explain the way we have lived. He says, God sees it all, and God is going to judge us one day and evaluate our lives on how did we live. Now, if you don't get anything else that I say this morning, get this. Life is a test of responsibility. That's why you're going through all this. God put you on, He planned you, thought you up, put you on earth, and He is testing your responsibility. Now, if you've been around at Saddleback for any length of time, this is old material. We've gone over this before. That whether you live 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100 years, that's just a little millimeter on the yardstick of eternity. When you die, that's not the end of you. You're going to live on for eternity, one of two places, heaven or hell. And how you do what you do with your life and the decisions you make here are going to influence your eternity. And you will spend far more time on that side of death than on this side. Now, what's going on in this 50 to 100 years that I live here on earth? Well, as I've said before, this is the warm-up act for eternity. This is the dress rehearsal. This is where you get the parts right. Folks, right now, you're in preschool. You're in preschool, and God is testing your responsibility for what's going to happen later on. And God put you on this earth primarily for two reasons. One, to get to know Him personally through His Son, Jesus Christ. And two, to develop character. To become more like God, the way God is, in character. To develop the values and the responsibility behind all of that. And that's the foundation. If you're not responsible, you can't build the values. Now, why is God interested in my character? God couldn't care less about your achievements. What He's interested in is your character. God couldn't care less about your bank account. What He's interested in is your character. Why? Because it's the only thing you're going to take with you when you die. You're not taking anything else. You didn't come into this world with anything. I've been there in the birth of all three of my kids. None of them came in chomping a cigar, holding the Cadillac, or anything else. They came in totally naked with nothing. And you know what? When you die, you're going to die and leave it all behind. So everything you have here, all your material possessions, are really just on loan to you for 60, 80, 90 years. They're not really yours. You just get to use them, then you pass them on to somebody else. But the one thing you will take with you is your character. And God is evaluating, are you responsible? And the Bible says that in eternity that we will be rewarded accordingly to our responsibility and our relationship to Christ here on earth. Once you've settled that issue of, yes, I know God and I know His Son Christ and I am a follower of Him, then the issue becomes, what did you do with what I gave you? God has made an investment in you when He created you. He gave you talents. He gave you abilities. He let you live in this particular time in history. He put you in the United States. He's given you certain opportunities. These are all things He's given you. And He expects a return on His investment. Notice what the Bible says. Each of us will have to give a personal account to God. That means nobody's going to do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. The pastor can't do it for you. You will give a personal account. Now, in this wonderful tax season time of the year, many of you have been talking with your accountants. And I want to tell you that one day, God is going to do an audit on you. Not on your finances, but God's going to do an audit on your life. And He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? Were you responsible? Did you use your time, your money, your influence, your mind? Did you use your relationships, your opportunities, and all of the things that I gave you? Did you use them wisely, or did you just use them selfishly? That's reason enough, folks. If there were no other reason for being responsible, it's the fact that one day I am going to be accountable to God for how responsible I lived my life. Daniel Webster once said, the most important idea I ever thought was when I realized, the day I realized that I am personally and individually accountable to God for how I lived. Now notice it says here, God knows everything. Nothing is hidden. That means he's seen everything you've ever done. It's interesting because when we rationalize our irresponsibility, one of the ways we do it is nobody will ever know. Nobody will ever know. So I can throw this trash down. Nobody will ever know. So I can steal this stuff. Nobody will ever know. So I can read this material, or on and on and on. But God knows, and he's the only one that really matters. You may be able to fool everybody in this room, your family, your boss, and everybody else, but that doesn't matter. Who you're living the responsibility for, the responsible life for, is God, and he sees it all. So that's the first reason. And that's enough. But there are two other reasons you need to live a responsible life. Number two, because others are affected by my life. Because other people are affected by my life. You see, none of us lives to ourselves alone. We are all interdependent. We're not independent. We're not dependent. But we are interdependent on each other. 1 Corinthians tells us in the Bible, people should be concerned about others and not just about themselves. Now, back in the 60s, during the kind of the hippie movement, and I lived up in the Bay Area, and then I lived north of it too, and there used to be these beautiful Peter Max psychedelic posters. Some of you remember these. And one of them kind of had a 60s mantra on it that went kind of like this. It said, I was not put on this planet to live up to your expectations. And you were not put on this planet to live up to my expectations. So let me do my thing and you do your thing. And if perchance we happen to meet, that's groovy.
That's Pastor Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment with a final thought. With Christmas around the corner, we'd like to tell you about Rick's life-changing book, The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick uses surprisingly simple yet often forgotten biblical principles to remind us of the true meaning and significance of the season. Here's Rick to tell you more.
You know, it's amazing to me that people celebrate Christmas year after year after year, often not even knowing the meaning of it. It would be like if I were to give you a Christmas gift and I came over to your house a year later and I say, how'd you like the gift? And you didn't even have it unwrapped. You say, well, I meant to, but I never got around to it. I'm sure it's good. Well, God has a Christmas gift for each of us, and if we don't unwrap it, we miss the whole meaning of Christmas. Christmas is about getting to know God on a personal basis. It's not about Santa. It's not about the gifts. Those are all fine things, but what it's really about is what split history into A.D. and B.C. It's the most significant event in history, and that's what the purpose of Christmas is all about, why it's important. You know, at this time of the season, a lot of people lose their joy. Christmas is also a time when suicides go up, depression goes up, loneliness grows up, because they say, everybody else is happy. Why am I not happy? Let me give you a little secret. Give your life away. Instead of working on people making you happy, look for others to make happy during this season. It is in giving ourselves away that we find true meaning, we find true purpose, we find the joy of giving. Here's what Christmas means. You matter to God. You matter to God so much that he came to earth in human form so that you could know what he's like. You know, it's kind of hard to describe what God's like, this, you know, spirit in the sky. I can't relate to a spirit. But when I look at God in a human form, then I can see that, oh, that's what God is like. And my suggestion to you is, in your sorrow, in your sadness, in your grief, turn to Christ and let him explain to you the true meaning of Christmas this year.
Get your copy of The Purpose of Christmas right now by going to rickwarren.org, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org, or just call 800-600-5004. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.